Thursday, January 13th. Tim Nelson here. Welcome to Mark and Friends from Great News Media.
And I would let God speak to me through his scriptures. And, you know, he has the whole time. So in Isaiah 41 and 10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And so I've clung to that because I know that everything else in the world may crumble, but the Word of God will stand forever.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty.
Today on a special Tell Your Story edition of Mark and Friends, we'll hear how God uses even the darkest of times to give hope and healing and to bring about new life. When Missy Hutchins was growing up, she dealt with a lot of fear. Much of that fear came from the abusive relationship that she, her brothers, and her mom had with her stepfather.
There was not a lot of joy, you know, in our life. We had relatives outside of our home, though, like my grandpa and my grandma. They would always fight for us. My grandma knew that we weren't having a good relationship with my stepfather. She would always try to intervene, and my mom would go back to my stepdad, and it was like a back and forth all the time. And so our childhood was very scary, to be honest with you. Not very good. But my grandpa, he always showed me love. I knew that my grandpa had our back. He had our best interests at heart. You know, he cared about me and cared about my brothers and he cared about my mom, but they didn't have the best relationship. And I don't know where that all started. But by the time I knew my grandpa, he was a great guy to me. So, you know, he took me on Sundays to church with him, you know, and he was my buddy. I hung out with my grandpa. He was just a good guy. I didn't know God at that time, but I knew that looking back on all of that, my grandpa had to have been praying for my salvation. Because how did I get here? You know, how do you get to that point without people praying for you? And I know there was other people in my life that later on told me they had been praying for me, even in my addiction and in my criminal lifestyle. I had people praying for me the whole time.
Alcohol consumption at a young age eventually led Missy into that criminal lifestyle she referred to.
Alcohol was something that I think I leaned on as a crutch to the things that were going on as I was growing up. So it was kind of an escape. So I drank alcohol in my early years of going to high school, and then I dropped out of school when I was in 11th grade. I got a full-time job, and I just continued to work. I worked 40 to 50 hours a week, and then I became a manager of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, mind you, I was still drinking pretty heavily. I'm still not 21. I have a couple charges on me from drinking while being underage. And so, like, you can tell I had a problem with alcohol, and I could tell, but I just continued to do it. And then I turned 21, and my mom had bought a bar. And so as soon as she bought that bar, I started working there. I started dabbling in meth. It was recreational at first, and I felt like there was no harm in it. It's keeping me awake. I can do more things. It's an additive to the alcohol. It's another escape. And so I was just doing it on the weekends for a while, and then I started it heavier and heavier and heavier. And so now I'm doing it daily. And I'm trying to support it, my habit, on working at the tavern. And so I got this brainy idea that, hey, look, I can be like the dealer I'm getting it from, and I can sell it, and then I can have my own for free. And that's where my criminal behavior really bounced off the walls. And I'm just trying to get by every day. I'm sinking deeper in depression, and I'm hiding behind the mask of methamphetamine because it makes you somebody you're not. So here I am, lost, but I'm still doing this thing that's keeping me, making it look on the outside that I have it all together, and I didn't have anything together. Okay, I am sinking deep in sin. I'm sinful. You know, I'm an adulteress. I'm working in a tavern. You know, I'm a fornicator. I didn't realize all of these things that were against the heart of God when I were doing them because I didn't know God yet like that. I had got a state charge for a dealing charge, but it was knocked down to a possession charge because I completed my probation and things like that. So I'm on probation and I'm going to meetings because they're making me go, but I'm not getting anything out of them. I'm faking it till I make it, so to speak. Even in their reading in those meetings and doing all the things they asked me to do to get by, just so I could get by with it and move on, right? It's kind of a game. And so it's part of my criminal lifestyle. By the time I was off probation, there I went right back to dealing again. And this went on and on and on. So I got the state charge in the year 2000. Kind of got slapped on the hand for it. we're rolling fresh into 2008 now. 8 years have gone by. You know, I have a daughter in that time. She's living with me. You know, I'm a single parent. Her father, he's addicted too, but we're not together. We haven't been together since she was 18 months old. So I completely took care of her on my own. My daughter's suffering, living with a parent that's addicted. I was living my life for drugs. I loved her, but I didn't love her enough to quit. And that's what I realized.
Early in the morning, on a cold December day, the federal marshals show up at Missy's home to arrest her.
Although I should have known, because I would continue to do those things, you lie to yourself, you think every single day, they may be watching, but they're not watching me, or they're not catching me. Because you want to keep doing drugs, because your life consists of, if I don't have it, I'm looking for it. And it's a really, really dark place to be, because that's where your thoughts are. They're not on your child at home. They're not on your job. They're not on your mental health, your physical health. You know, you are putting yourself in risky situations every single day of your life. You feel superhuman. You don't sleep for days, and your mind is not where it needs to be. You completely get paranoid. Your personality changes, where you think you're invincible, but you're really not. You like to go around at nighttime because you think you're being slick. I remember going and picking up drugs in Indianapolis one night with a friend of mine, driving on I-70 at 3 o'clock in the morning, and right beside us is a black, unmarked police car, and it's a canine car. We could have been pulled over, and I don't know what his purpose of that was, but I do believe it's because the federal government was watching us, but the marshals may have told them to hold off because they were building their case against us. But doing things in the dark, that's typical for somebody that's doing drugs, because you're not going to be at daylight going to your drug dealer's house. A lot of times you wait till nighttime and move around. So everything's done in the dark, but it always comes to the light.
I thought that I was too far gone. For everything I've done, yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave. But you called my name, you called my name.
Right before Missy was incarcerated, a friend took her to a church service. That's when she realized God was at work in her life, even long before that day.
God had just taken my heart and just completely melted it in that service. But leading up to that, just like 3 months before that, I'm driving down the road, and normally I would listen to like rap music and things like that, you know. But for some reason, the music wasn't, it was distorted that day, so I turned it to a different channel, and it was a sermon. And I don't even know who was talking on it, but it had me crying in the car. And I was like, what is going on? You know, I don't know what is going on here. I want to hear my rap music, you know. But God has spoke to me through music my whole life. I just didn't know it. I completely love the music that God has put before me. I am telling you, it ministers to me almost daily. So I'm driving and I'm like bawling my eyes out. I don't know why I'm crying like this. And then, you know, God, I feel like now that God was just melting my heart. And so then I heard that sermon, and now I'm growing and wanting to hear more of the sermon and less of the music, you know, less of the secular music. I've got this hunger growing inside of me. I just don't know why. I don't know why it's building up, but I see it all now, and I see that God was taking all of those things and he was using them to push me forward, because he knew when my lawyer told me I was going to do 10 years, I still didn't know God yet. And I'm sitting up on top of this high hill and I'm crying and I'm like, I just don't want to be here anymore.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past.
Big Daddy Weave is I Am Redeemed. That song, I feel like that song speaks to me when it plays. And the first time I heard gospel music was in prison. And we listened to that on Sundays. And we could go in the church. We had times in the church where we could go in there and we could do Bible studies. We could worship on our own time, on our own free time, when it was open. It had services in it almost all the time. But there were slots of time that you could go in. A girlfriend of mine in prison and I, we facilitated Bible studies. We ended up doing that together. So we would go, we would sit together and we'd pray about the next week. We had the slot for an hour. And this woman was on fire for God. When he put us together, we had revival in that church. And I'm telling you, people were being set free from addiction, generational curses. I've listened to women in there that had such sad stories. Like they were actually doing drugs with their parents. When they got arrested, their parents were in prison. But, you know, listen to them, and I would think to myself, you know, I may not have the best childhood, But these women that I'm in here with, they've had a lot worse than I had, you know, and I just have to praise God for that.
I am redeemed.
When Missy first got to prison, she said she knew that God was real because of what she experienced with two fellow inmates.
When I first got there, I was really scared, and I didn't want to come out of my room and things like that. But these two great women from the church, other inmates that were there with me, they had been there a little while longer, and they came and got me out of my room, and they said, "So, your name's what?" And I told them my name, and they was like, "You want to come into church with us and watch a movie?" And I was in a room with some really mean women, and I said, "Yes. I would gladly like to go in the church with you and watch a movie." And they had a lot of good movies in there. So they took me into the church that morning. We watched a couple of really good movies. And then the next day I went to the service, the first service I went to there. When I came into that service, there was a woman that walked up to me and said, "God wants you to go up to the front and pray for your daughter." Guess what was on my mind when I got sober in those county jails for 9 months before going to that prison? Because I was in jails 9 months, and then they designated me. So I'm sitting there waiting for destination. And that is, they're designating you to a certain place. I'm sitting there, and now I'm sober, and I'm all about healing with me and my daughter's relationship, right? Because I knew that I'd caused her much harm and taken away a life from her because she was kind of left out on her own out here. Now, she lived with my mom after that, but it just wasn't the same. But because of that, because her saying that God wants you to go up and pray for your daughter, because guess what? God knew that was the closest thing to my heart at that time. And he reached down and touched that broken part of me and said, "Go pray." And you know what? He answered that prayer. And then after that, like, I was a baby in Christ right then, but I was like on fire. Oh my God, it's real. You know, I was just telling people, and I was like, "God, I love you so much. You know, you reached down to my hurt part of my heart and you took care of her." And so then I would walk the track, and I would take a scripture with me, and there was these 31 uplifting scriptures. I found them in a book, and I took those and I wrote them out by hand on little index cards, and I cut them up, and I would walk out there every single day, walk the track, and I would memorize that scripture. And when I would start feeling some kind of way about life or prison life or the way my roommate was treating me, I would remember the scripture, and God would speak to me through it. And I got so fluent with the scriptures that I was in tune with what God was trying to tell me, you know, and he would bring me back to those scriptures and over and over and over again. And I would remember, you know, God's promises are in those scriptures. He's speaking to me in those scriptures. Those are personal. They're for me. And I would replace it with my name in it. And I would let God speak to me through that scripture. And I'm telling you, his word is what I fed myself on the whole time I was there. It was the meat of the word. When I was in my room, people would stop by there and ask me what I was doing. And so we would talk about the Bible, and we would sit on my floor together, and we would pray, and we would read scriptures, you know, and God was just doing a big work in me then, you know. And then he would send other faithful women of God in there to my room, and we would connect. And prison was a revolving door, because people had different outdates than you did. And so you would see people come and go, and your heart would be hurt because you got close to them and then they were leaving. But it was like God would always provide. Like, one person would believe, and then God would bring somebody else into my life. And that's how I was able to do my time. My family's not able to come to prison with me. So he gave me a new family, and he did that for me. He provided for me over and over and over again. He protected me. There were so many things that when I did the right thing, it caused friction around me because I did the right thing. Now, I stood alone sometimes, okay? But I really was never alone, because God's army was behind me. He had my back. Because the next right move, God would always protect it. For the first time in my life, I was not breaking rules. I was not breaking, you know, social rules. I was doing the right thing, because I promised my daughter the day I went to prison I would come out not one day more than what I was supposed to. I would be in there, and I would do the time, and I would not get time taken away, and I would be out for her. And I promised her that, and I made that promise. I got out of prison on August 5th of 2016. Then I went to the halfway house, and I got off of probation September of 2020. And so now I'm not on any kind of paper anymore.
The verdict was guilty. Case closed. The end. No chance for me to ever leave this prison of my sin. Now I know it might sound crazy, but one day a key unlocked that cell.
I heard a small voice say your debt's been paid by somebody else. And now I'm walking, walking, walking free. No more darkness, guilt has lost its grip on me. When mercy called my name, those chains fell at my feet. And now I'm walking, walking, walking free.
While Missy was serving her sentence at a women's federal prison camp in Kentucky, a chaplain mentioned to her how God gives everyone special gifts. When she asked him what he thought her gift was,
he said, "Your gift is the word." He meant that God was going to take that word and magnify it in my life. He was going to let me express it to others in a way that was very powerful. God knew what he was doing when he sent me to prison, because that was my training ground, okay? It was my Bible college. So he put these people over me in the prison, the chaplains particularly, and the volunteers that came in and out of there. They were the best I've ever been taught under. I'm not kidding you. They were on fire for God, and they taught us what the love of Christ is. I mean, we had Bible studies almost every night. I would actually go to see their perspective of why they believe what they believe. That's why I would go. And there, God gives you a family while you're in prison. You know, God sets the lonely in families. In Psalms, it tells us that, right? Psalm 68 and 6. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. And so God gave me that a family while I was in prison. They are precious to me, and I still keep in contact with all those ladies in the church. We serve together in the church, you know. And when I say serve, I mean we served. I stood at that door every Sunday, and I greeted those other inmates. We were all in this together, like they were my sisters in Christ, right? And the church was open at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I would stand at the door, and I would greet, and I would seat people. And sometimes I would read a scripture to the church that morning. And I loved that. I loved doing that because it made me feel like I was part of something bigger than myself. You know, and I had it. God gave me that family, and I cherish those people.
The truth is,
I almost gave up a power that I can't explain.
That Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven.
Came down from heaven. Hardships, difficulties. I want you to have joy, because can't nobody take that from you. I see you.
Missy says one of the important things that God taught her during this time is that he wants us to bloom where we're planted.
If God has you sitting somewhere for an hour in a crowded place, what are you doing in that time? You can focus on, look around you and see the need. People are so hungry for what they don't know. People just don't know what they're hungry for, but they're hungry for God. They just don't know it. And don't be disgruntled about where God's got you right now. And it could be a long season. Like right now, I'm living with my mother because she had a stroke during the pandemic. Okay, so she had her stroke in February, and, you know, everything went full force. There's been a couple times that I felt like moving out, but that was just my flesh. And I feel like God has left me there to look over her, and I'm not going to give up on her and our relationship because I feel like God has me there. And I tell her all the time, "Mom, I'm praying for you," and things like that. And I want her to hear that. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a day that my mom gives herself totally to God. And I know it because in the beginning of my walk, God spoke to me through somebody and said, "Your whole family will be saved." I'm standing on those words. What is my job in that is to continue to pray for them. I don't know about you, but whenever God has given you a word, you're just like, you're excited. Like you jump up and down like God spoke to me. You know, one time I was sitting in a service and this man of God looked right at me in the eye and he said, "Do you know who you are?" Is he talking to me? I'm looking around like, he said, "You are a mighty woman of God." He said, "God told me to tell you, keep going." Like all the things that God's planted inside of me have not been in vain because he's going to use them.
Sometimes I wonder, is he faithful? Does he see me in my trouble? Does he understand? Sometimes I question if he's able. Can he rescue? Can he save me again and again? But when I look back, did he move every mountain? Did he part every sea? Yes, he did. So yes, he can. Oh, did he defeat the darkness? Did he deliver me? Yes, he did. So yes, sometimes those voices try to tell me I'm forgotten and I'm falling too far from.
Nutshell, I would just say to anybody that's listening to this that God loves you and he wants to meet you where you are, and that he's no respecter of persons, that he will meet you right where you're at. You don't have to have it all together to come to God. He longs for a relationship with every single person in this world, and he leaves that invitation open, and it is life-changing. Some people may be on the fence about it, may not understand it, but God's real. His love for us is never ending. There's nobody in this world that will love you like God. Nobody. You will never come close to anybody loving you the way God does. God's good, and not that I'm good, but he sure is. He gave me life and gave it to me more abundantly, and I'm completely grateful to God for all of those things.
You say your love goes on forever, that your mercy never stops. So why would I assume you'll be somebody that you're not?
You've been listening to a special Tell Your Story edition of Mark and Friends for Thursday, January 13th from Great News Media. Our guest today has been Missy Hutchins. I'm Tim Nelson. Thank you for listening.